Psalm 91, we can read from verse 7. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. The Lord helping us, we would endeavor to consider the last two verses read. And that is from verse 11, Psalm 91 from verse 11 and verse 12. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Those who trust in the Lord are wonderfully protected. The truth that begins the psalm is vividly demonstrated in our text. Verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. They will be protected. And that is illustrated clearly in our text. Verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And just before our text, as we considered last time, the psalmist is re-emphasizing his trust and adherence to God. He says, Thou, Lord, art my refuge. He is speaking to God. Thou art my refuge. And then he speaks to himself, and he's telling himself, No evil is going to come to you. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Because the psalmist trusts in God, no evil will come to him. And that is partly because the angels are commanded to keep him. They protect the psalmist against danger. Now, it doesn't say the angel, he shall give his angel charge over thee. It's not in the singular, but in the plural. In other words, there is nothing to indicate that there is for each child of God a guardian angel just for him. It is the angels, plural, that help all of God's people. And it says, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Wherever you go, whatever you go through, the angels will keep you in all your ways. That is the comfort that the psalmist gives to himself when he speaks to himself about the Lord's protection of him. In all thy ways, whatever you go through. Some people may say that it means in all your ways, whenever you're following the ways of the Lord. But it seems to me that the ways would be the ways in providence, whatever he passes through in his outward circumstances. You remember Satan, as we read in the chapter, tempted the Lord using this very verse. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 5, Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. The Savior's answer to the devil was to show that even this complete protection that God gives to His people is no justification for recklessness. No, all of us. us are to use the means of preservation just as all people should, use all lawful endeavors to preserve our own life and the life of others. The Lord Jesus replies to the evil one, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." But what we focus on is the fact that here is a wonderful protection for those who look to the Lord as their refuge. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Here is protection. Here is, the word may also be translated, they will guard thee in all thy ways. Here is the angels employed for the help of God's people to clear the path, as it were, for them. And it says they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Is even going into the particular, as if the angels have hands that will be put to reach out to help God's people. It is showing the care that the angels have in obedience to the command of God for God's people. And lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Here is an unimpeded walk. God's people will have a clear path for them. The angels will remove the dangers and the hindrances so that God's people will go on safely and smoothly. So for those who trust in the Lord and endeavor to walk with Him in all the ways of His commandments, what a wonderful, comforting truth is here. For He shall give His angels charge over thee. Not only are the angels at liberty to help God's people, they are given a specific command to do so. They are charged to care for God's people, to keep them in all their ways, to bear them up in their hands, lest they dash their feet against a stone. A specific charge is given to protect them. So here is the doctrine that we would like to look into for a little while tonight. That is, that angels are God's messengers commanded to guard and protect and help God's people. That's a doctrine of God's Word. That's a doctrine, a teaching that we derive from this text. Angels are God's messengers commanded to guard and protect and help God's people. Is that so? Are the angels servants of God to help God's people? We read in Hebrews chapter 1 at verse 14 the answer to that question. From verse 13, the apostle writes by inspiration, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on thy right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool?'" No, God did not say that to the angels. He said that to his Son. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, sits at the right hand of God, the highest place of authority and rule in the universe. So what about the angels? Verse 14, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Yes, angels are sent to tend to the needs of God's people on the way to eternity. So, what we want to consider briefly is two things. First of all, and with the Lord's help, the service of angels for believers. The service of angels for believers. And then, in the second place, the response of believers to this revelation. The response of believers to this truth revealed in God's Word. The fact that angels are servants of God to help God's people. So we have these two things, the service of angels and the response of believers. How do we benefit from this truth that is revealed? First of all, then, the service of angels for believers. Yes, they are the servants of God. As we sang in Psalm 103, at verse 20, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." Angels are holy. Angels are obedient. They hear the word of God. That means they obey the word of God, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Verse 21, "Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure." Angels are the ministers of God. I believe it's still speaking of angels there. They are ministers or servants of his that do his pleasure. So if angels are obedient, if they are holy, and they will most assuredly obey the voice of the Lord, we can be sure that the angels, being perfect, sinless beings, will obey the command given them, this specific command, this charge to care for God's people. "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." Of course, angels not only care for God's people, as we are saying, they obey the voice of the Lord, whatever it is. And they demonstrate, they show forth, they present to us an aspect of the glory of God. When God's holiness and glory is revealed, the angels are there to demonstrate it. As we have in Isaiah chapter 6, when the prophet Isaiah sees the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train, that is his garments, flowing, filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Seraphims, that's a particular name for angels. They're given that name to show the swiftness of their obedience and the burning zeal that they have for the glory of God. "Each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." So here are angels attending the throne of God, showing forth his holy majesty. And how would you respond if you saw that? Isaiah, the prophet, says, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King." He's taken up with the King himself, not the angels, but the Lord of glory. Yes, the Lord of hosts. So that is the response to God's holiness, to recognize our own sinfulness. And we're reminded about the nature of repentance. When we see that God is holy, we will see that we are unclean and we have need of the precious blood of Christ to cleanse us. Well, the angels, servants of God, they are called the angels of his might. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, when the Lord Jesus will appear in flaming fire, and the angels of his power will attend him in the gathering of all nations before him when he comes to judge the earth. So the angels are strong. Again, the angels show forth the Lord's strength. They excel in strength. They are powerful. They are almighty. Not almighty, but they are mighty angels. And we're reminded about their power when we think of what they do on behalf of God's people. Remember the two angels that came to Lot. Lot didn't know they were angels at first. He invited them in to have a meal. He entertained them. He demonstrated his kindness and hospitality to these two men who turned out to be angels. But the other men of Sodom knew that they had come, and so they come to Lot and they ask for the men to come out. Well, as you remember the story, that the men of Sodom tried to break the door, but the angels, they bring back Lot in and they smite the men of Sodom with blindness. The angels are powerful and they work on behalf of God's people. Then there's the other account of the angel who wrought in behalf of the Jews in Jerusalem during Hezekiah's time, when he destroyed the army of the Assyrians, King Sennacherib, 185,000 dead soldiers on the field of battle through one destroying angel. Here are powerful beings that God sends to help his people. Of course, the word angel means messenger, and it is not a term that exhausts the function of angels. They are more than just messengers, of course, but very often they are sent to announce good news. Remember the angel that appeared to Zacharias? His name was Gabriel. And he says to Zacharias, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. Think of that. These are angels that help God's people. They are beings who stand in the presence of God. He says, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. So angels are messengers. They bring news. Gabriel was sent again on a mission to announce to the Virgin Mary that she was to bring forth the very one who was to be called the Son of the Highest, Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. So angels are messengers. They are given this charge to keep God's people in all their ways. Think about Peter, the Apostle Peter, who was incarcerated by bloodthirsty King Herod. He had killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Acts chapter 12, verse 3. And because he saw it please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did, and he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out, and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. It was an angel. It wasn't just a vision. Angels are sent to care for God's people, to keep them in all their ways, to deliver Peter at that time from the hurtful sword. And of course, as you remember, the people who were praying for Peter were astonished that it was Peter himself who came to their door. Then we are reminded of Elijah when he was in great need. He was sleeping under a juniper tree, and behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. So we see how angels in the Bible clearly are obeying the word of the Lord in keeping God's people in all their ways, even providing for them the food that they needed to be nourished by. And then you remember in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, when Lazarus, the poor beggar, died, we read that he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. So angels carry the souls of God's people into heaven. Well, the time is moving swiftly. How do we respond to this truth revealed in this part of God's Word? Well, first of all, thinking about the response of believers, we should recognize the manifold ways in which God protects His people. He cares for them in His providence. God's works of providence are His most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all His creatures and all their actions. The Lord Jesus upholds all things by the word of His power, all things, and He governs all His creatures. He arranges, He controls all things by His power. Well, that is, in His providence, He protects His people. By His Spirit, He protects His people, He cares for them, He exerts His power. As we read in Psalm 104 at verse 29, "Thou hidest Thy face, they are troubled, Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust." And in verse 30, "Thou sendest forth Thy Spirit, they are created, and Thou renewest the face of the earth." But not only in His providence and by His Spirit, but through the agency of angels, God cares for and protects His people. "He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Think of this truth. Think about the manifold ways of God's care for His people. So how may angels help us in particular in the 21st century? They may, and no doubt do, protect us from physical harm. I remember the minister once saying, "I wonder how many cars Satan tried to smash into you as you were traveling from Houston to Chesley in Ontario." Conversely, I wonder how many angels tried to stop Satan or other cars or whatever from causing collision. So the Lord uses angels to protect from disease, for example, and in other ways that we little think of. Not from every aspect of harm, no, because God does send affliction for the benefit of His people. but from the excess of that affliction, God uses angels to keep his people in all their ways, lest they dash their feet against a stone. Again, we read about war in heaven. I think it's Michael the archangel battling against Satan. Well, as John Owen points out, the angels war against the demons to prevent them from overbearing upon God's people, harassing them, keeping them chained in fears. The Lord uses angels to ward off Satan himself. And then there's also, just as Satan with his fiery darts can plant evil suggestions in the mind to tempt God's people, so angels can do the same thing with good thoughts or good impressions, and suggesting to the minds of believers texts of Scripture or other impressions to lead them to a course of good action. And then angels are witnesses of the sufferings and obedience of God's people. Paul says we are spectacles of angels. Angels are looking on. And they will, as Owen suggests, be there on the judgment day to testify to the obedience of God's people. They saw it happen. They were there. How many angels, we don't know, are witnessing the transactions that are taking place this very moment. And they will avenge the elect of the enemies of God, angels, as we mentioned already about the 185,000 soldiers dead on the battlefield. It was an angel of the Lord that smote Herod in his pride just after he had killed James with the edge of the sword. And then again, the angels are used, they are employed by God to carry his saints to heaven. His people who have died, it seems that some of God's people on their deathbed have actually declared that they were seeing angels waiting for them. And when you combine that with the parable of the Lord, that angels carried Lazarus into Abraham's bosom, and when you combine that with the ministry of angels in general, it's hard to escape the conclusion that angels actually do carry the souls of saints into heaven. Well, we should not worship angels. That's clear enough. Oh, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. John Duncan says, it is good that we are blind to angels so that we do not worship them. We don't see them. They are invisible spirits. Nevertheless, they keep the Lord's people in all their ways, and we should be thankful. That's the proper response. Thankful to the Lord for employing angels for our good. Why does the Lord use angels? Well, the short answer is, the best answer is, because it pleases him to do so. And who are we to question what is becoming infinite wisdom and goodness to do with and for his creatures? But surely we can conclude this, that God employs angels in order to show his care for his people, to show the extent of his love for them, in that he sends for them the most glorious servants who attend his throne. He sends his servants, his majestic servants, to care for them. God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, the apostle says, and he will not withhold even his angelic hosts for the good of his people. And heaven and earth are witnesses of the care that God has for his dear people. Well, again, angels announce the birth of Christ. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And angels are not to have the adoration, but Jesus Christ will have the glory. He will have the preeminence in all things. And who will angels care for? This is what we should leave you with. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, the psalmist says. And what was the psalmist doing? He was calling the Lord his refuge. Are you calling the Lord your refuge? Are you calling upon God at all? Are you calling upon God in Christ? Are you coming to God through the door? I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Are we going to God through Jesus Christ, receiving and resting upon Christ for salvation, our only hope, our only refuge? He says to us, he says to you tonight, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Looking to the blood of Christ to cleanse away our sins, there is acceptance with God in the Beloved, his beloved Son. And then you may rightly conclude, looking to Jesus as your refuge, you may rightly conclude, for he shall give his angels charge over thee. Put your name there. For he shall give his angels charge over me, to keep me in all my ways. They shall bear me up in their hands, lest I dash my foot against a stone. Yes, the manifold ways in which God cares for his people. And we will leave it there and ask the Lord's blessing on his holy word. Mr. Campbell, will you pray?